go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 15. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
But wait a minute. Somebody put the smelling salts up underneath our nose, which basically these days is ammonia snapping us too, because what's going on in our world is Jesus is coming. The globalists are moving and they're just fighting about who's going to be in control of the nonsense. You and I, we need to start saying, wake up. Care for your loved one. Care for your sister, your brother, your kids. Care in a way that is not just teaching them because you've got words. Interesting thing about Father's Day is I just want you to know, many guys are fewer in words than women would like, because women are conversant. They even tell us in the earliest days, boys will make sounds like boom and bang and pow pow, and girls will sit there and have long conversations. They use all kinds of words. Now, guys, they're few of words. But you know what? Some of the most powerful impressions that have been given to us have been given from perhaps a dad who walked the walk even more than talked the talk. Somebody said evangelism is something that is caught, not taught. Christianity is caught, not taught. You want to be like that. If you live out in the West and Texas and whatnot, they'll all have a big old belt buckle, you know, that's as big as their whole belly area. It's a huge belt buckle. And all the little boys are wearing one, and it's just the same size as dad. So you can imagine that's like a shield for them. And it's just fun to watch how the little boys, even on your bulletin this morning, the little shoes. And even my grandkids have picked up my shoes and put them on and started walking across the room in my shoes when they found them. Look at me, Grandpa. Look at me. And so you teach these children, sometimes without words. David's not saying a lot about what he knows, but he knows what he wants. And what he wants is he wants to be at the tabernacle. Because when he sees the tabernacle, he sees what God's up to. He gets a re-infusement of insight. You know, the glory of kings is to search out a matter. The glory of God is to conceal it. He conceals things. And when we open the Scriptures, if there's one thing you take away in a message that is new and fresh and just sings in your heart, then you've come away a richer person. When I'm reading in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, and I see three unclean spirits like frogs, and I'm seeing the world getting all these frog masks on and acting like they're frogs, and they're thinking, we've got this, we're going to throw down all the people that are trying to control us. And I want you to know that under the underpinning of all that, they think the Jewish people are bad many times. They actually identify with post-millennialism because they believe they're going to bring in the kingdom and then Jesus will come. You see, their theology is messed up and their lack of holiness is apparent, and yet there are going to be three unclean spirits like frogs calling all of the nations to Armageddon. That's in Israel. So if you're anti-Israel, then you're going to be happy to go there. I'm just saying that the deception is on. It's leaning in, the throttle's being thrust forward, and they are on the move. And you and I are just sitting here, just sitting back saying, oh, Jesus, come any minute. And that's a good thing. On the other hand, we have to be thinking, oh my, Jesus could come any minute. My sister, my brother, my children. Have our lives been singing? Have our lives been speaking? Have we longed for the tabernacle? Have we longed for His presence? Have we longed for His Word? See, we don't have to look at shadows anymore. We can look at the substance in clarity. Parsing verbs, knowing the heart of God, reminding ourselves what He really wanted from us. Not only was there the clothing to be looked at, but you recall perhaps in Zechariah 3, you might write that down to read later. It's a great passage where Zerubbabel and Joshua are there, and they're back in the temple after all that Babylonian captivity. But Joshua, the high priest, he's kind of a ruddy-looking guy. He's all dirty. And the Satan comes up and begins to accuse. And the Lord Jesus is standing there and says, I rebuke you. And then they say, put on him clean clothes. And he gets clean clothes, and it gets better, because after he gets clean clothes, man, Zechariah's all lit up. He says, oh, give him a turban. He needs a turban. And he gets a turban, which is symbolic of a crown, because we're going to get a crown. He begins to look at him and he says, he's as a brand snatched from the fire. He looks at him and he says, listen, Joshua, you and these, your companions, are men to be wondered at. When people watched the tabernacle, they were to watch the high priest. They were to see his motions. They were to look at the other priests. And they would actually draw the same things over and over again. Think about it. The steps were always the same. Every single day, the steps were always the same. The path was well worn because God was trying to telegraph some things. As I said, there were the garments in that temple that were made out of the tents themselves. The people wore the garments made out of the same material, thus telegraphing to you and me that we were going to be the tabernacles, the moving entities that God would use to bring message to the world. But it also had this holy place wherein were just a couple of implements. There was the showbread made up of 12 loaves. There were 12 loaves on there. And then on the opposite side, over against it, was the candlestick, which had 7 candles on it. We found out what the candlesticks were in the book of Revelation in chapter 1. They're the 7 churches. So God was telegraphing all the way back there that He had a plan for the Gentiles. We were going to be the candlestick. There was going to be 7 stages. We're in the end of it. The lamp's burning down. Okay. But we also had the 12 loaves, which was Israel, who was the witness in the Old Testament, witness in the New Testament, witness in the Old Testament. This was God's stick figure saying, listen, this is how this works. I've got a plan. Yes, there's one other thing. It's the altar of incense. That's because they're all going to pray to me. These guys are going to pray to me. And I'm going to hear them. I'm going to answer them. And so we see the most holy place then comes before us. And there you find the mercy seat, which is the Ark of the Covenant, in which was the law and life and living. All of them were there because it was all found in Him. The tablets of stone were the law. Life was found in the rod that budded. A rod that budded, that's life. That's what God does. And then there was living. What about the manna that God gave? I give you something every day. I'm saying these are beautiful pictures. They're deep. They're full of girth so that we can sit back and say, yes, I can live here. I can live in this neighborhood. Listen, I'm talking to us guys now. Guys, this is important. This is the game. It's a game right now because God's playing. In a real way, He's playing with you and me in a way that is beyond our imagining. Because we look at the heavens and we think He's kind of hard at first. But as we go along, we begin to realize, no matter where I go, there He is! There He is! He's there! Paul was going to reach some people and he had a great door open. He couldn't get over Titus being not there. He left a great open door and he thought, oh man, God's going to be mad at me. And he says, but praise be unto God who always leads us in triumph. Because that's what He does. Because there's no condemnation. He loves you. Dad, He loves you. He wants you to know it. He wants you to remember it. And as you do, He will continue to bring the sails of your ship forward by the breath of His own mouth. Because He's the one that guides and directs. He says, you'll hear a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walking in it. But what we've done, listen, I go back to Ephesians 5. We're needing to awake and arise from the dead, the midst of the dead. We need to understand that Babylon is all around us and we're awful comfortable, but God's snapping us to right now. He's waking us up. He's saying, look what's going on. Can you hear me now? Because we've been so happy to settle for so little. We've allowed ourselves to let our birthright just sit upon the shelf. And so we don't hear His voice like they did in days of yore. We don't move like He would have had us move in days gone by. When everything was about getting the firewood cut and getting the garden going, getting out there on the farm and doing all the stuff that was everybody's every day. No, now we've got a world that everything's done for us and we don't know what to do with ourselves and we're bored. But He says, listen, I'm out here in the wilderness. I'm out here in a dry and thirsty land, and I just long for one thing. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart. Every word. Every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that's ever been heard. Just tell me again. Just tell me again. Thank God for church. Thank God for the fact that I have to be here It took me years to get over the fact that I was looking at the chairs. I just looking at the chairs. I don't even care anymore about that. That's up to you. You're your own believer priest. You play it like you want to, but I'm telling you, when I get here and I have a word, it goes to my heart. I learn twice. And I want you to know it's important, Dad, to long for this. Because this is what your kids are going to see. Is it the ball game that they're going to remember? Is it the playtime? Is it the laughter and the jokes and the frivolity? Or is the most important thing to get that book up underneath your arm and walk out that door? Because we're basically men who are wondered at by our children. These are men to be wondered at, Joshua. And he says, if you will do what I want you to do in Zechariah 3, he said, I will give you a place among these here. And he's pointing to the sons of God, the angels that's been showing up, and Jesus, and the Father, and the angels that take away the ugly garments and put on the clean. He's, I'll give you a place in the midst of these. Do you want that? Do you really want that? Are you ready to let go of this? You're more ready today to let go of this than you were about 2 or 3 years ago, I dare say. Because the world has shown itself, hasn't it? The mask is tipped. And we see that there's horns back there. And there's fangs and there's teeth. And they are after your children. They're after your children. And my children. And my grandchildren. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? You know, when you think about a tabernacle, the Bible talks about our bodies as being like a tabernacle in a couple places. You may remember 2 Peter 1 verse 14. It says, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. Peter's talking. I got to put off this tabernacle. See, already we're seeing that substance that was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, everybody wearing those. He says, you're the tabernacle now. He says, I'm going to put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord has showed me. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 6. He says, we then, as workers together with God, and he's talking about himself and his cohorts, you know, Timothy and Silas and whoever happened to be with him at this time. He says, we then who've worked in your field and brought you to Christ, he spent 18 months in Corinth and he was teaching them as their pastor. He said, we then now, looking back, we then as workers together with him also plead with you. Plead with you. He says, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Wow. Can that happen? All the time. All the time. Bible says that you would not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Now, the fact is that when you're recognizing the day means this is the day of salvation. It's coming to the times of Jacob's trouble. The day of the Lord's going to dawn, you know, and it's going to start with Jesus, you know, rapturing us out and then go all the way to the time when the new heaven and the new earth. That's what Peter tells us. He says, the day of the Lord, it's going to happen this way, it's going to end that way, and it's going to be something that tells you how should you then live. But here we're seeing, he says, in an acceptable time I heard you. And you know what? He wants to hear from other people you know. He wants to hear from your kids. He wants to hear from your neighbor. He wants to hear from the guy you work with, the lady in your neighborhood. He wants them to hear too. He says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And he's telling them, we plead for Jesus. That's what he was saying. He said, we all plead for Jesus, be reconciled to God. That's what we do. We plead to the world to do that. But he says, don't you receive this grace in vain. He says, now is the time. You need to not receive it in vain. You need to get in here with us. Because why? Because we're ambassadors.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.